Uncensored, no holds barred talk. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This is the Global Reality Radio Network.
Edition of the Global Reality right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. It is the 8th of August, 2011, Monday into Tuesday now, the 9th of August, 2011. Glad you could join us and be with us here tonight for the late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. And we're going to be getting into a whole raft of news stories tonight. Crazy, crazy, insane stuff here to talk about with you here tonight on the show for sure. And we had some outages last week, both with the website a few times and with the stream as well, even though there wasn't anything being reported by the service provider that they were having any problems. And I'd check in and they would say, no, there's nothing wrong with it. But then it just flat wouldn't work. And with all this crazy cyber warfare stuff going on and everything else in the world, there's just, you know, there's really just no telling. But so we only had a few shows last week. So I've got a few stories here that were left from last week I want to cover as well that I can get to talk about that I think are important. So we'll do that for you here tonight on the show. We also love to have emails from you, listener emails during the broadcast. If you've got questions or comments or you have things you want to hear me talk about, riff on, whatever, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. That's globalrealityshow@gmail.com. Never be afraid to send those emails over if you're listening on a rebroadcast or on an archive or something like that, because I will pick up and answer that question for you next time on the show. My website where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. Up there you can find the listen links, the radio show archives. You can find getting weird stuff again. Seems like every time we come back from a weekend or something, we always have these weird stuff going on with the, I hear static and stuff. My headphones is strange. Weird frequencies, no telling what's going on. And all of a sudden like that, it's better. Who knows? Crazy, crazy stuff. But again, my website, theglobalreality.com. It's www.theglobalreality.com. We have the chip in banner, the donate button. We also have a P.O. box now. If you don't want to use PayPal, you can't use PayPal, but we prefer PayPal because that's what gets it immediate. And sometimes we have bills to pay and we have to pay that way. So but please support our work if you can. We're only having a couple of shows last week. We didn't get anything in last week as far as support and donations at all. Not even from the two shows that we did. We didn't get one red cent in last week at all. And we can't operate on that. We don't have commercials. So, let's make up for it this week with the support that our audience can give us, okay? Please do so, theglobalreality.com. I get so many emails sometimes over the weekend that I feel bad because I love to get your emails, but I feel bad sometimes because I get so many that inevitably somebody's gets forgotten about, and then, you know, sometimes people get butthurt about it. They think I'm just intentionally not reading their email or something. But honestly, if I don't read your email on the show or something, or don't think that I didn't read it, or don't think that I didn't get it or something, because oftentimes I'll read something, then I can't find it again, or I'm going through the stack, you know. So there you go. Let's see. Here's one that says from Carl. Oh, just about to sneeze. I hate when I feel that way. I knew it was coming. This was from Carl. Carl, yeah, it's Carl. Just came over to see if that Meat Mountain was over here or something. Just listened to you read the book, The Lost Book of Enki. And I've got to say, I've never laughed so much. You seriously cracked me up. I'd love to see you do information stand-up as a new genre of comedy. It's fantastic. Awesome book and info. Fantastic commentary. Brilliant. Thanks. You need to do this more often. Into her womb, his semen he poured. I'm a bitch slap you with a Siberian tablet, motherfucker. So thanks to Carl there. Let's see what else we have. This is from Tim. He says, hey, Josh, your news story about nanoparticles was interesting, but one thing you failed to mention is that nanoparticles can also be a good thing. For example, the nano silver solution I buy to deal with colds. You never have, you hear much about silver in the mainstream media, essentially because it works too well. Yeah, well, there's also those silver hucksters like, you know, Alex Jones and what's the other guy's name? Lynn Horowitz, you know? Lynn Horowitz infuses his with the Lucifer frequency, and Jones gets his direct from Homeland Security. I mean, you know, I don't know. The stuff may help you, but you just don't know that what you're putting in there into your body isn't doing other things to it that, you know, they're not telling you about, that aren't on the bottle. I'm not going to deny that. Yeah, it does have therapeutic effects on the body, but it's just, you know, when you look at the source of where a lot of these silver potions and stuff that are real big right now, when you look where a lot of these things are coming from, they're coming from very, very, you know, shady sources. And again, you know, and unless you have a way, to me, it's, you know, you're taking just as much of a risk putting something like that in your body as you are taking, you know, a pharmaceutical drug or, you know, an injection from a doctor or anything else. So, you know, I don't know. I understand that you see here's the thing, you know, you want to talk about nanoparticles can be a good thing too. Well, the people that say that guns are bad don't realize that guns can be a good thing too. You know, a new world order might be a good thing too, if it was done for the right reasons, right? So you see the dichotomy here. Sure. We live in a dualistic reality. Anything that can be a good thing sometimes can also be a bad thing. So let, you know, let's not really split hairs on that, Tim. Let me see what else we have here. Some lady keeps sending me something about some new book on the Anunnaki I'm supposed to check out. And, I don't know. It sounds like total hogwash to me, and I don't trust the source because, it's written by a guy who was Ron Paul's partner in medical practice. And he just sounds like a, you know, right-wing Christian, you know, priest class, let's sway him back over here type of guy to me. I'm just by his associations, I'm not even interested. Thank you, though. This one says, don't know if you got this, but I love your show. After I heard it for the first time, I love the cussing and the honesty and the music that you play too. Actually, I'm glad there are not 10 minutes worth of commercials. Keep it up. Thanks. Yeah, I'm glad there's not either. But again, you know, as long as we get in the support from our listeners, we can keep it that way. That's really the thing that we struggle with every day here. Because it probably would make things a lot easier if I did sell advertising, but, you know, and then you sell advertising, people bitch about that, and then they don't end up buying the products, but then, you know, then they want to, do it a different way. Well, I've been doing it a different way, but, you know, people who said they would support a format like this, a lot of those people haven't, and they're liars. A lot of liars out there. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been promised things from people, listeners and stuff like that. You know, and look, you know, I don't care if you want to do something, or you don't want to do something. It makes no difference to me. If you want to support our show when I do my work, great. If you don't, that's fine too. It really doesn't bother me either way. It's free will here. That's why I do it with, you know, instead of trying to pound you into submission by my product and getting up here and going, folks, we gotta get at least 10 water filters sold this week. Otherwise, I'm not going to be able to get me a large enchilada platter. That's just all there is to it. You know, I'm not taking 15 minutes out of every show to try and get you to buy, you know, magical fairy dust that may, you know, keep you safe from New World Order cancer drugs or whatever they're putting in the water this week. What are the latest conspiracy theory is, you know? We strictly do it by free will, but you know, so I don't give a damn either way. If you do or you don't, but these ass clown bullshitters that say, oh, I'm sending you a big, huge check, you know, huge donation. I'm giving you $2,000, $3,000, whatever, you know. Oh, it's all the checks in the mail. And then, you know, you wait months and months and nothing ever appears. And that's happened 5, 6, 7, 8 times to me through the years. And I just wonder, what do people get from that? Where do they get off? Do they just get off on that? They get off on you know, thinking that someone is going to, you know, support your work, and then they don't. That somehow is a thrill to them? I don't get it. I'm really confused on why that would be anything you might get a thrill from. I don't know. But thank you to those people out there that that do support us. Let me see what else we have here in the stack tonight. Still getting lots of people commenting from the Red Eye show. It's great to see that show's had a lot of legs to it. This is a pretty cool email here. I got this one today. It says, Mr. Josh Reeves, I caught your show on Red Ice and thought that it was awesome. I've also been checking out your site, and I love it. I'm a graduate music theorist at UNT just up the road from you. Oh, yeah, that's in Denton. That's awesome. The nature of my research often involves translating Latin. Since you seem to be a very open-minded person, I would like to share something with you that I believe has profound significance. And this is something that it's pretty synchronistic, and hopefully Taylor's listening to this. Taylor's the person that sent this email. It's strange, Taylor. You point this out, and I've looked at that a million times, and I've asked people if they knew, and people would just say, oh, it's just, you know, that's just the way they wrote it, whatever else. And I was thinking, no, that changes the whole meaning altogether of what that is. What we're talking about is the words on the back of the dollar, the Inuit coeptus. If you ever see that term on the back of the dollar, the Inuit coeptus, the O and the E are linked together, not separated. Well, that changes the whole meaning of what that phrase means. The back on the dollar bill says Inuit coeptus, novus ordo seclorum, usually mistranslated as blessed undertakings, enterprise of the New World Order. If the motto said coeptus, O and E separate and not coeptus, then the translation would be mostly right. However, coeptus does not mean undertakings. It means children of Dan. Oh, the Danites. One of the lost tribes of Israel. Here we go. Uh-huh. Well, I mean, that's a confirmation of what we all already known, isn't it? Yeah, the money changers are still in business. And we know for a fact they are, and of course, that's probably what you'll hear mostly people talking about these type of shows right now. I don't know. I don't listen to them, but you're not going to get a lot of that here. I'm going to talk a bit about what's going on with this financial stuff, but God damn, I do have to comment on that just for a minute, though, and I'll continue with this email. God damn, it's amazing to see just what a frenzy they can get people whipped up to, isn't it? I mean, they are whipping people all into a fear-mongered frenzy right now about, you know, America loses AAA rating and blah, 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 and the debt ceiling, all this poor shit. Well, these guys are doing nothing but allowing their Ponzi scheme and their scam to be able to continue. That's all they're doing. And everybody's getting all worried and socking their money away. Look, man, don't buy into their scam. That's what they want you to do. Want you to be scared, running around panicking, shitting yourself, thinking the world's all coming down. All these guys are doing are resetting their game so they can continue on their scam forever and ever and ever. And if they reset this thing and set everybody back to zero and create a one world currency and bring all this together, which is probably what's going to happen, their Ponzi scheme and their thing will continue, but they'll just reset the game back to zero. So that's why, you know, that's why I tell everybody, look, man, if you can get a credit card, if you can get whatever, get that motherfucker and just max it out. You know, spend it and fucking put up a, you know, I don't know, start your own radio show or start broadcasting. You know, fuck the FCC. They're a criminal organization. It's going to be gone pretty soon anyway. Just start broadcasting shit or whatever. Or max out your credit cards and make a donation to what I do or something. But fuck this. This shit's all a scam, man. They've got to reset it and then in turn reset everybody and everything else for their scam to continue. And that looks like it's what's going to happen. But an interesting thing here with this Tribe of Dam thing, he says also, which it startled me when I first saw that, the other problem is seclorum. It's a plural word, so the motto currently translated would read something like Blessed Children of Dan, New Order of the Worlds, or Blessed Children of Dan, New Order of the Ages. To find the meaning of coeptus, you need to go to Google Translate, because I cannot find in any other online or hard copy Latin dictionary. Well, that's interesting. I will attempt to contact a Latin expert, but we'll probably have to wait until school picks back up. So I would like to know what you think this means. To me, the Tribe of Dan is intimately connected to the serpent. Yeah. Yeah, it was. They always had the serpent in their logo. Yes. Just the fucking serpent banksters, man. I mean, you know, you look at the dollar. Look how many reptilian features and serpent features that thing has on it. My goodness. The Tribe of Dan is intimately connected to the serpent, the only tribe that had a different origin from the other Israeli tribes. Nobody can seem to figure out who actually runs the world. Maybe this is a good rabbit hole to dive down. Thank you very much for your time, Taylor. Well, thank you, Taylor, and please keep me posted on that, and I'll continue to do some more digging and talk about the Tribe of Dan and stuff for you. Let's see here. See what else we have. Let's get into the news tonight, see what we have news-wise here. We got a lot of crazy stuff to talk about there, no question. You guys, you remember, I guess it was week before last, we had the story about, you know, we've got this Trojan asteroid thing in our orbit now all of a sudden, which people are saying is, you know, one of the signs of the fulfillment of the Hopi prophecy. I don't know. But it was interesting that was, you know, sort of mentioned in the Lost Book of Enki, which we'll continue reading tonight in our series of reading. And we're starting out on the account of the tribulations before the deluge. So we'll get into that tonight. But we had mentioned how, you know, it said that there was, that Earth used to have two moons and one was destroyed by a collision, you know, Marduk, Tiamat, that whole thing. And of course, that came out of the news last week. Earth may have once had two moons, the one that shines at night today and a smaller companion, of course, you know, there that is. And I mean, so again, we start to see more and more every day new revelations that coincide exactly with what these ancient texts had talked about. So just really amazing stuff. You guys may remember, I don't know, 7 or 8 months ago, I was talking about that movie, the Beatles movie, the Paul is Dead conspiracy movie, the winged beetle. And I was watching that with some friends, and we were talking about how, you know, yeah, because there's this quote from John Lennon where John Lennon says, in 2012, the masses will all have caught up with the Beatles by now, and Paul will be Jesus. And I heard that, you know, over, and I was like, that is such a fucking strange thing to say. By 2012, the masses will have caught up with the Beatles, and Jesus and Paul will be Jesus by then. And I heard that as a code. And I said, you know what? They're probably going to come out with all of this, you know, that Paul was actually an imposter, some guy that they put in there to continue the operation on, because you know I've done a lot of research into Heather Mills, man. Heather Mills is I don't know if I'm going to have time to get any of the stuff about Heather Mills in the Secret Volume 2 or not, but she's intimately connected, or was intimately connected, with Adonai Khashoggi, or Khashoggi, or however you say his name, the guy, Saudi arms dealer, the guy who's been involved in basically every major event in the world for the past 50 years. Remember when Paul McCartney was married to her, they were all talking about this story about, you know, she got her leg chopped off, her foot chopped off, or something like that in a motorcycle accident. No, that was total horse shit. Because she used to be Adonai Khashoggi. Heather Mills used to be Adonai Khashoggi's number one call girl. And when she didn't want to be his call girl anymore, and he wasn't happy about that, he had one of his goons cut her fucking leg off. But they sold this story to the public, and I was talking about how, you know, they're probably, you watch, you know, before it's over with, and when they get ready to really destabilize society, they'll probably start coming out with a lot of these, you know, cover-ups they've hidden for years. We've got, you know, we got this story tonight where we'll get into where Jackie Onassis, you know, and new tapes that they're revealing said that, you know, LBJ and a cabal of wealthy Texans, she believed, killed her husband. And I've been watching this Murdoch phone hacking incident going on. Former Beatle Paul McCartney said Thursday he would contact police over his ex-wife's claim that the couple had been spied upon by a British newspaper. They're openly admitting that they had hacked Heather Mills and Paul McCartney's phone messages. There's a clip of Heather Mills, rather, where she says it's right if they broke up that she has an envelope with all this information in it. And if anything ever happens to her, it's going to go to all the major media things, and she's got damning information against Paul McCartney that's going to show people that he's not what he tells people he is. She specifically said that, and that it doesn't have to do with infidelity or anything like that. It's something much more serious and much more criminal. She's got the goods on him. She knows he's fall. So what's going on here is it appears that probably the people who were hacking their phones probably because that's allegedly what led to their breakup. And from what I've gathered from looking at these news reports about this situation, folks, I'm starting to get the opinion that there are some reporters out there involved with this phone hacking thing that know the truth about Paul McCartney. And I've speculated for several years, you know, that could be it. They could do something like that. You know, it comes out that Paul McCartney's not the real Paul, and, you know, oh, my God. And that could be part of this continuing plan of bringing everything crashing down. People's belief in the system. They have to crash their people's belief in the current existing system before they can supplant those same people with a new system that they've controlled and set up and are trotting out to be some new solution to the new problem. It's they do the same old thing over and over again. I saw this talking about, you know, trying to get people up in arms and creating a new civil war, which I've been talking about for almost 4 years on my show. I've been telling people that was coming. 4 years ago, people said I was crazy. Now they don't say I'm crazy anymore when it comes to that. Because it's just in the cards that that's what they're trying to do. The question is, are you going to buy into it? Are you going to become a part of it? Are you going to be stand back and say, I'm not going to be a part of that? Because I know this is an operation, because that's exactly what it is. They want to bring humanity to the brink of destruction by getting us to attempt to destroy each other. But there's a Rasmussen poll that came out that said that only 17% of Americans believe that the U.S. government has the consent of the governed at an all-time low, and that the poll also, the results of the survey also indicate that Americans are now quote-unquote, pre-revolutionary. So I saw this article, and it's posted over on Doug Owens' website, blacklistednews.com. And the first comment on this article I laughed my fucking ass off of this. And then Anhydra had sent me a link to this guy. Apparently this guy's, he sounds like another Alex Jones. I've never heard of him until this, until seeing this comment. But I have two questions. Number one, he appears to have made a lot of claims in the past about, you know, World War III coming right around the corner, nuclear weapons, something very similar to, you know, Jones's Y2K type stuff of fear-mongering. And, of course, none of those have come true, but this guy seems to have credibility. But you're going to love this. Listen to this. The Rothschild banking family is planning for a revolution in America. False flags around the world, a limited nuclear strike, and the initiation of World War III within the next 8 weeks. They have been successful in crashing the market so far in accordance with their written plans. If Obama is killed on the 23rd, as planned by these banksters, well, how does this guy know this? How does he know they're planning to kill Obama on the 23rd? And if he does know this, and he's posting this stuff on an internet website, on an article comment, and that does happen, this guy needs to be hunted down and brought to justice and asked questions up. And when you find out what he is, when I tell you here in a minute, you're really going to shit yourself. So that's my one question. Number one, if this guy's right, do we get to hunt him down and ask him questions about how he knew it was going to happen? And number two, if it doesn't happen, do we get to hunt this guy down and string him up by his fucking nuts and tar and feather him? And I'll get to why here in just a minute. I just like to know how this guy's so sure of it. And if it is going to happen, I don't know why you'd put that out. I don't see how you'd be able to put that out and it not be somewhat considered criminal. You know, especially if it happens. If it happens, this guy needs to be brought in. If Obama is killed on the 23rd, as planned by these banksters, and then a race riot will begin in America and a limited nuclear false flag shortly afterwards with limited nuclear war by April 2012. Pray with me that these scumbags and the Rothschild banking family in London who are planning these events are removed from this planet immediately. Well, how would you know it's them? Now listen to who it's signed by. Honorable Grace, Dr. William B. Mount, Knight of Malta. Excuse me? I'm sorry. This is kind of shocking to me. I mean, after 4 years of getting up here and talking about the Knights of Malta and the Council for National Policy and the John Birch Society and the Jesuits, with people going, oh, you're crazy. Those people aren't involved in the truth movement. Those people aren't involved in the patriot movement, blah, 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 blah. Here we have at the very top of this article a fucking comment by someone who admits they're a Knight of Malta and who you can go look up, Dr. William B. Mount, Knights of Malta. Look him up. He's a real guy. Manhydra put some info in the chat room earlier. Here it is. The Penny King inducted into the Order of St. John of Jerusalem. Yeah. So this guy, this is not just a hoax. This guy really is a Knight of Malta, and he's outing himself as a truther or a conspiracy theorist or whatever else. So, I mean, so for 4 years I've been crazy, but yet somebody just posts a goddamn comment on one of Doug Owens' articles and just admits that they're a Knight of Malta, but yet I'm crazy for saying Knights of Malta people are involved in the truth movement, the patriot movement. I mean, I just don't get it. Well, there it is. If you ever had any doubts, there's your fucking proof right there. And again, if this doesn't happen, do we get to tar and feather this guy and drag his name through the mud? Because I'm sick and tired of these chicken littles running around telling everybody, oh, such and such is going to happen on this date. Such and such is going to happen on this date. Like they want it to happen. That's why I'm starting to believe that all of this is designed for us to manifest it into being. That's why they want us to think the world's going to end in 2012 and you know, the book of Revelation is coming true and aliens are going to invade and all this shit and zombies are coming on the attack. They want us to manifest it. When you have the ability to implant a mindset and belief systems into every single person on the planet using electronic mass media, you have a powerful weapon you would be an idiot not to use. And I think that's what this has become, a weapon of manifestation that will be used to ensure our own destruction. That way, as per usual, the powers that be, the people in charge, will have what? As always, plausible deniability. No connection. We did it ourselves. I'm just blown away by this. I'm just blown away by the fact that this guy can sit here and say, oh, if Obama's killed on the 23rd as planned by these banksters, where's your proof? You have information? You have information that the bankers, you have actual proof? Because that's a hefty claim. I mean, I can't help but reading this think that that I've been right all along. I don't think you can think anything else but that. This obviously proves that there are disinfo artists, fearmonger, scaremonger artists involved at the highest levels of the secret societies like the Knights of Malta, and they are involved in the truth movement and the patriot movement in many places and in the areas share the same identities. And they use the Freemasons as the scapegoat. They blame everything on them. If not them, it's the Jews. And then you have these guys go around and say that anybody that says otherwise, you know, is a New Ager. I mean, it's just not working anymore, you fucking idiots. Unbelievable article there. God damn, I can't believe that. So much crazy stuff here. I had a dream Saturday morning. I thought it was, I don't know if it was a dream. It wasn't a dream, man. It seemed real. I was sleeping, and I swear my little nightstand thing that has my alarm clock on it was started shaking, and my bed was shaking. And then it stopped, and I went back to sleep, and I was like, man, that felt like a fucking earthquake. But I just went back to sleep and didn't really think much of it. Before the show tonight, I remembered, oh, fuck, man. That was so weird. It seemed like that. I mean, it really felt like there was really an earthquake. And there has been several in the Dallas area the past several years. And right before the show tonight, I went and looked this up. And lo and behold, folks, you're not going to believe this. It was in the morning time Saturday. This didn't happen until 11:45 p.m. Saturday night. But check this out. WFAA.com here out of Dallas where I live. Small earthquakes shake mid-cities. If you felt the earthquake move overnight, you were experiencing a real earthquake. The U.S. Geological Survey reported the epicenter of the 2.6 magnitude quake was just north of the Lone Star Park racetrack in Grand Prairie when it struck about 3 miles underground at 11:45 p.m. Saturday night. I'm probably, I don't know. I'm looking at this map. That's not too far from where I live, man. That's golly. It's because it's kind of close to Irving. Yeah, well, that's crazy. But it's just wild that I swear I felt something. I felt the ground shaking Saturday morning, but then this didn't happen until Saturday night. But man, oh yeah, Stomping Evil's in the back of the chat room. Hey, Stomping Evil, while I'm thinking about it, I saw you. I don't know how this happened. Because I didn't intentionally, he had sent me a message saying he couldn't get in the chat room a couple weeks ago. And I checked the ban logs, and I was like, no, you're not banned. And then I checked the ban logs again tonight. I was looking at something, and I don't know how, but Stomping Evil got banned from the chat room. And I don't know how that happened. I apologize for that, but I went through and checked and made sure there wasn't any other ones that it happened to. But yeah, I don't know who could have done that. I had some different mods, but I don't have those mods anymore. So I don't know who could have done that. I'm sorry about that. I apologize. He's been one of our longtime listeners and supporters and have chatters. So I'm glad we got that worked out. I'm glad to see Stomping Evil back in the chat room. So welcome him back, everybody there in the chat room, because it sucks that happened. Sorry about that. Let's see what else we have here. Man, you guys hear about this? This shit sounds like, I think, thinkprogress.org. I don't know any other way to think what this is. I think these guys walk smack dab in the middle of a Council for National Policy meeting or something similar or something higher and didn't even know it. Listen to this. Well, number one, they've had, this took place in New Orleans, and they have had CMP meetings there before. Two reporters for Think Progress alleged that they were attacked by security guards for no apparent reason on Thursday at a conference of the right-wing American Legislative Exchange Council, the ALEC group. Now, this is, I don't have to tell you, this is a, very, very high-level connected CMP tentacle group. The guards told Scott Keyes and Lee Feng they had to stop filming and leave the lobby area, but when they attempted to comply, they approached us, violently pushed us, and twisted our arms. Now, this is the kind of stuff that I've only heard them ever do at Council for National Policy meeting, so it very well could have been they were having this ALEC meeting as a front for a CMP meeting, and that's why these guards were getting all pushy, because normally there aren't any other right-wing groups where they have this sort of Gestapo tactics on secrecy and not knowing where they're going to be at, not announcing where they're going to be at, not even telling people who current members are. A guard approached Feng from behind, tackling him and later bending his arm to take his camera. Keyes faced similar treatment. Two security guards roughed him up on the escalator, taking his video camera and cutting Keyes' hand as he attempted to leave the premises. As Keyes was asked why he was being forced to leave, he was shoved from the back. Now let's talk about this ALEC group, the American Legislative Exchange Council. Just like the CMP, they're a conservative nonprofit, 501c3, but they're specifically a lobbying organization. Much in the same way as Jack Abramoff was the big lobbyist in Washington, D.C. That's who he was lobbying on behalf for a lot of these CMP types. So this is basically like the lobbying arm. They're one of the lobbying arms, the ALEC group. They're one of the lobbying arms of the groups like the Council for National Policy and the right wing in general in this country. Spokesman for the priest class. They essentially make sure money gets where it needs to go. Now listen to some of the people who've been involved in this group. See if these names ring any CMP bells. Illinois State Representative Henry Hyde, Paul Weyrich. There's a CMP for you right there. Lou Barnett. Bob Kasten. Jack Kemp. James Buckley. Jesse Helms. I mean, that's five, six CMP people right there. That's their lobbying arm. So seems to me what the interesting thing here is that these guys from Think Progress seem to have stumbled onto something more than just, you know, a lobbying group. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gotten treated like that, you know, especially it's something where they allow press. Now, what these guys need to do, if they really had journalistic cojones, which most of these phony journalists don't anymore, these guys would be calling their connections and trying to find out where these Council for National Policy meetings are being held, and why we're not allowed to know where they are, why we're not allowed to have any independent media in there, and why we're not allowed to have current membership lists. Let's see what else we have here tonight. Secret tapes made by Jackie Kennedy are said to contain explosive contents, which will lift the lid off the private life with her assassinated husband, President John F. Kennedy. The tapes, which are to be aired by ABC this fall, are believed to contain interviews with the former First Lady in which she talks candidly about her and her husband's affairs and who she really believed was behind his assassination. The tapes were recorded with leading historian Arthur M. Schlesinger Jr. within months of the assassination on November 22, 1963, and have been sealed in a vault at Kennedy Library in Boston until now. Jackie O, as the world came to know her, after she married Greek shipping tycoon Aristotle Onassis. Yeah. Anybody that ever thought that was just a coincidence? She went from fucking Kennedy to, you know, Aristotle Onassis. Onassis, one of the top Illuminati bloodlines. Yeah, that was just a coincidence there. Yeah, right. She asked that the tapes not be revealed until 50 years after her death, but her daughter Caroline Kennedy decided to release them in a deal with ABC. So it'll be interesting to see here. But yeah, of course, she goes on to say that she's also said to talk about who was behind the assassination, believing that Gumman Lee Harvey Oswald was a part of a much larger conspiracy. A source said that the former First Lady became convinced that Vice President Lyndon Johnson, JFK's successor, and a cabal of Texas tycoons were involved. Well, that cabal of Texas tycoons confirms information we already know. Madeline Duncan Brown LBJ's mistress, who had a love child with him, has gone on the record many times talking about being at the Hunt's mansion, you know, here in Dallas, the night before the assassination. And all the guys who, you know, if you lived in Dallas like I do your whole life, you know these names from buildings and roads, you know. W.O. Bankston, that's a car dealership in Dallas. W.O. Bankston. Well, W.O. Bankston was one of these Texas cabal guys. Most of them were John Birch Society guys. A lot of them were Catholics. You had Amon Carter. You got the Amon Carter Museum, on and on and on. She also said that Nixon was there that night. Poppy Bush Sr. was there. And after the meeting, he came out and she said, you know, what were you guys all talking about? It must have been serious, you know. Did you guys get it all straightened out? And he told her, oh, yeah, we got it all straightened out. After tomorrow, those goddamn Kennedys are never going to fuck with us ever again. And then, boom, you know, what happened after that? So that whole cabal of Texas tycoons being involved is an interesting statement from Jackie, because that's what the research confirms. So an unbelievable story. Can't wait to see what those tapes are going to reveal. Did you guys hear about this orange goo that washed up in Alaska last week? Nobody knew what it was. People were speculating that it may have been, you know, contaminants left over from the oil spill, Corexit maybe washing up, or some sort of reaction to these other nuclear meltdowns that we've had, Fukushima and others. I mean, apparently one's gone meltdown in France. Nobody's even talking about it. Scientists have identified an orange-colored gunk that appeared along the shore of a remote Alaskan village as millions of microscopic eggs filled with fatty droplets. So here's what's interesting to me. They've identified that this orange goo are microscopic eggs filled with fatty droplets, but here's the kicker. I don't know, maybe I've seen too many alien movies, or maybe I just know too much truth. I don't know. It's probably a little bit of both, but this doesn't sit well with me. The mystery is not quite solved. Officials with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration said Monday they don't know what species the eggs are or if they are toxic. So apparently they were able to identify these things as eggs filled with fatty droplets, meaning they have, you know, they're just chock full of stuff, but they cannot determine what species they are. It's an unknown species. That's kind of worrisome. Yeah, I'd say that's kind of worrisome. I'd say there might be something that might be cause for a little bit of alarm. Yeah. Goodness gracious. Oh, man. See what else we have on the menu tonight. Oh, you'll love this one. China's new lucrative business: turn dead babies into stamina booster pills. That's right. Get your new stamina booster pills. Stacker 4,000 straight from China. These motherfuckers will keep you pumped up all night. 100% dead babies. You'll be able to play video games. You'll be able to listen to internet radio. You'll be able to jerk off to porn. You'll be able to do it all. Stay up all night long. Never worry about sleep ever again. Now, China's new dead baby 5,000. They'll keep you up for the end of time. We need to get them to sponsor the Global Reality. We need some dead baby pills in here. God, I'd probably get a lot more films done if I had some of these dead baby pills. Yummy. Dead baby pills. And get 15 films done in 1 week with these new dead baby pills. I can't wait to get my hands on these fucking things. I'm going to eat a fucking handful of them. Just roll around in the dirt. A South Korean SBS TV documentary team accuses Chinese pharmaceutical companies of selling dead baby pills as stamina boosters. The team reveals that the truth behind the dead baby pill is horrific and disturbing. I mean, only China, you know. Chinese hospitals and abortion clinics that are connected to the business immediately notify pharmaceutical companies when a baby dies, mostly because of a stillbirth or an abortion. The companies purchase the baby corpses and store them in some family's refrigerator to avoid suspicion. The next step in this highly secretive process is putting the corpses in a medical drying microwave and grinding them into pills. The ground baby powder is then put in a capsule, ready to be sold as a stamina enhancer, according to the SBS team. The Korean team acquired the dead baby capsules and ran DNA tests on it. The test results reportedly indicated the pills were 99.7% human.
They'll keep you up all night long. They'll keep you up till way after 2012. Dead babies from China. Now at the Global Reality.
The test also found hair and nail remnants. And even the gender of the baby could be identified. Also, there's like a baby in every pill. That's rad. There's a baby in every bite. That'll be their slogan. This is fucking sick. The test, the process will be aired with visuals in the SBS documentary TV on August 6th of 2011 in South Korea. SBS further reveals that there has been in a business network established between China and South Korea for a while to fulfill the baby capsule demand in South Korean markets. Besides the dead baby pills, microwave dried placenta is another popular business in China with hospital staff are allegedly openly involved with. They are just good quality in China, aren't they? It's good quality human beings. China is fucked. China is fucked. That is insane. We all could be aliens after all, claims NASA study looking at meteorites from outer space. Oh, well, here's another world knee slapper for you. These guys are just getting comical with this shit now. Life on Earth may have its origins in outer space, according to NASA research. Scientists have analyzed meteorites that formed billions of years ago before falling to Earth. The carbon-rich fragments were found to contain chemicals similar to one of the key components of DNA, the building blocks of life. Tests show that the presence of these chemicals cannot be explained away by earthly contamination, suggesting DNA's origins may lie in outer space.
Womp, womp.
Oh my God, no. I can't believe that would ever be the case. You have to be lying about that.
Well, if it happened, if we really did come from space dust, well, that means that Jesus and God made that space dust anyway. And so we still came from Jesus. We still came from God. We came from Jesus and space dust. Yeah.
Oh, God. You know, like the Pope, you know.
Oh, it's okay to believe in the aliens, man. They're of Jesus. The aliens came from Jesus, so that's why they're okay. Believe in them alieners.
Oh, man, this is Van Allen radiation belts, anyone? I mean, ethereal barrier around the Earth we can't break free from, anybody? We've talked about that many times. Allegedly, that's the case. That's why all the moon missions were fake. But listen to this. Antimatter belt around the Earth discovered by Pamela Kraft. A thin band of antimatter particles called antiprotons enveloping the Earth has been spotted for the first time. There it is. More further proof that those fucking NASA missions were all hoaxes. The find, described in the Astrophysical Journal letters, confirms theoretical work that predicted the Earth's magnetic field could trap antimatter. The team says a small number of antiprotons lie between the Van Allen belts of trapped normal matter. The researchers say they may be enough to implement a scheme using antimatter to fuel future spacecraft. Aha, I see what they're going to do. They may have cracked this. This may have been the answer to the question to why they've been putting all these resources towards things like CERN and these massive, you know, CSER 3 supercomputer systems and all this stuff. Because John D. was trying to get this information from the macrobes as far back as like the 16th century. He even came to Queen Elizabeth and said, we have to strip mine the earth for resources. We have to find this element called silicon. We have to create technology. And with that, we'll be able to break free from the etherical barrier placed around Earth to keep us trapped here. You know, 17th century, silicon, what? What the fuck is that? You know, now we have a context for what that is. They may have done it. They may have figured out how to break, not only break free from the barrier, but also use that, the protons and the antimatter from that to actually power their ships to jump and break free of it. You know, people always talk about, oh, yeah, the elite are going to, you know, jump ship on the planet and they're going to, you know, leave us all to rot down here. Good riddance. Fuck them. Let them go. We got this. You guys go on and have fun out there in the other places. We've got this handled down here. We're doing just fine without you. Thank you, though. Appreciate your concern, but we got this. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, a federal agency that focuses on the condition of the oceans and the atmosphere, and severe solar storm could cause global disruptions in GPS systems, power grids, satellite communications, and airline communications. With solar activity expected to peak around 2013, the sun is entering a particularly active time, and big flares like the recent one will likely be common during the next few years. I've been speculating about this for a long time, you know, with all these solar flares and all this stuff, you know, knocking out communications, you know, with all them knowing this is happening and, you know, really looking for something to scapegoat Iran with. And, you know, we had, what was it back 2007, 2008, something like that. You had Newt Gingrich was all on TV saying, you know, within 3 to 4 years, Iran could hit us with a electromagnetic pulse bomb, an EMP bomb. They could drop it over the continental United States and wipe us back into the Stone Age. And I've often wondered if that may be a false flag technique they may be planning. You know, maybe the HARP and chemtrails and all this gives them the power to, you know, harness the energy from this and direct it in the way they want. I mean, it certainly appears that way when you read these patent documents and stuff like that, that they have the ability to steer this stuff, to steer chemtrails, to steer storms, any kind of energy. They basically have the ability to steer it anywhere they want to now. Had that for years and years and years, but it would be the perfect thing, wouldn't it? You know, when a natural EMP happens, you know, some sort of natural solar flare that they use force multiplication technology on to make worse and enhance it and then direct it. Using things like the X-band radar system gives you an entire 3D topographical images of the entire surface of the Earth using barium and the satellites, the same chemtrail technology they use in combination with HARP. It may be very well be up their sleeve. I mean, I think we're going to start to see a lot of that cognitive dissonance stuff where we're already starting to see it, but a lot more of it where, you know, we're not going to know what's black and what's white and what's white and what's black. That's what they want. They want us confused. They want us panicked. They want us in fear. And they don't want us thinking rationally. That's why I've been telling people that, look, you know, the only people that have anything to worry about, things have already been shitty for us for a long time. All this panic, this financial panic stuff, do not buy into this. Okay, the people that want you to freak out on this are the people who were involved in the Ponzi scheme, who were involved in the Wall Street racket shenanigans game. And they want you to be concerned about it so that you will acquiesce to their solutions, which is another stimulus. You know that's coming. That's going to be coming real soon. And just, you know, higher taxes, anything and everything that will get you in enough fear about your, you know, having enough to eat, putting food on your table and having a, you know, a roof over your head, anything they can do to get you in enough fear that you'll basically acquiesce to any demand they make to keep their Ponzi scheme going. Don't do it. Don't buy into it. You know, this is it. We're here now. This stuff's not coming anymore. And now that we're moving into such an exponential time, we are moving into the awakening. Now that we're moving into such a positive, positive time for mankind to pull itself out of the muck finally and become something greater than it's ever been before, the highest fulfillment of itself, we're being force-fed fear and depression and down and, oh, be mad and be angry and be pissed off at everything and hate life and don't be happy on a day-to-day basis. Only feel sorry for yourself and think, woe is me, how shitty I am, and I don't have money and blah, blah, blah. That's what they want you to do. I'm going to have to get up here every day from now on and say this because I feel that it's time and I feel that we've got a lot of people who are slipping into that. And that's exactly what they want. That's the fulfillment of their plan. They're engineering all this so they can steer the way your emotions are expressed, the way you feel on a day-to-day basis, how those reflect how you live your life. They want everything to be negative. And nobody has anyone to blame but themselves if they choose to fall into this. That's all there is to it. We're going to take a break, come back, and get into Lost Book of Inky for you here tonight. Love to have emails, globalrealityshow@gmail.com. My name is Josh Reeves. I'm your host. This is The Global Reality. Stay with us.
Afternoon, the August afternoon has the trees in color.
Back here with you on the Global Reality, right here on the Global Reality Radio Network. I'm your host, Josh Reeves. Thanks for being with us here tonight for yet another late night Moonbat edition of the broadcast. Thanks for staying up late with us out there. or early or whatever it may be, wherever you are. My website, where this broadcast originates from, www.theglobalreality.com. That's www.theglobalreality.com. And that's where you can find all the things that pertain to the show, to my films, to archives, everything up there. Jim and Banner, the Donnie Button is there. And please support our work. We didn't get anything at all in last week, so please support our work so we can continue. And after paying the bills and then get anything last week to help out, it's been kind of thin. So please donate right now today if you can, folks. Okay, I had a couple of articles left here. Two articles left I wanted to cover. I thought I had got through all the news, but I'm going to get through these two articles quickly. Then we're going to move on to Lost Book of Inky for you tonight. Fingerprints breakthrough will reveal if criminal suspect has taken drugs or been in contact with explosives. Now, I mean, you see how they're, I mean, this is just a classic case of how they hide what this stuff really is under the guise of, well, you know, we need to be able to see and we able to have this technology so we can see if these people have, you know, held bomb making material or not. Okay, fine. But they bring this into the private sector so they can use it against you to find out if, you know, you smoked a doob at a, you know, Jimmy Buffett concert 2 years ago or something. Oh, Bob, looks like over here we can determine now from just looking at your fingerprint. You smoked a doob at a Jimmy Buffett concert a couple of years ago. We're going to have to fire you. Going to have to let you go. New economy here. New fingerprint technology could soon provide detailed information such as what a suspect ate or drank and even tell police what time they went. They were at a location. Researchers at Sheffield Hallam University are currently involved in tests of the new technology. It uses a laser to identify molecules in the sweat that fingerprints are formed from. Even though the technology is at least 3 years away from being implemented by police, means they've had it for 10 already. Researchers have already successfully developed a method for testing substances a suspect has touched. It works even when the fingerprint has been distorted or is incomplete. Current police methods scan the ridge pattern to compare with database records. This new method examines material from the skin surface and human gland secretions. Anything that can be secreted in sweat can be picked up in fingerprints because they are a simple deposit of sweat. It would be reasonable to think that you might pick up dietary habits of people. The profile of a vegetarian could be very different from a meat eater. You could pick up whether a person was a smoker, a passive smoker, or not. The technology might also be able to tell police if a suspect is under the influence of drugs. I found a caffeine signature on my own prints, which increased as my body absorbed the drink. It would be reasonable to think that you might pick up dietary habits of people. The profile of a vegetarian could be very different from a meat eater. You could pick up whether a person was a smoker. Yeah, you said that once. Why are you going to say? I mean, every one of these articles, this is the third article I've read tonight that I've just seen. Sometimes I don't even mention the mess ups. I just correct them myself and say it correctly when I'm reading it. But I got to tell you, that's the third one I've seen tonight that just has, I mean, misprints, reprints. They say the same thing twice. This is terrible. But more intrusive technology use there. What's a big surprise, huh? Foreign ministry in Japan had simulated the nuke plant disaster in 1984 and what the results of and the fallout of that would be, but have refused and never shown this to anybody until now. And there has been reports in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. They got some rain on the 6th. Some people have independently gone out with Geiger counters and collected rainwater and examined it and put this video footage on YouTube, and it's just off the charts with radiation. You got to start taking steps, folks. You know, potassium iodide pills. I mean, I know everybody's, because Jonesy was jacking up the price on those things. Well, you know, you still might want to get yourself some. Because, you know, there's radiation everywhere. If your hair starts falling out and, you know, start coughing up blood and different things like that, maybe time to start thinking. And they're going to try and just irradiate us to the point where you're just going to have cancer outbreaks and shit all over the world. They're just going to continue to cause these situations to happen and get us all as sick as they possibly can for generations to come, because now the medical industrial complex is moving to keep pace with its buddy and partner in crime, the military industrial complex, and socialized medicine now coming everywhere to the globe. The best way to make sure that this mandatory health care has plenty of cuts, you can't just have a nationalized healthcare system and then have a healthy populace. It doesn't work like that. It's a racket. By design, it's a racket. There is no other way to describe what government-sanctioned healthcare is when it's by law, meaning you don't have a choice, than a racket. And since now it's a global order, now this is going global, They're just going to pollute and radiate and do everything to us so that they get us sicker and sicker and sicker, so that we have to use and go begging and running to them to save us with their black magic medicine. Somebody, Jamie, if you're listening, we need to write a song called Black Magic Medicine. I don't know. That just came out. It's a fucking awesome black magic medicine. That's what the fuck these guys are. That's what the hell these doctors are. It's black magic medicine. That's exactly what, you know, I mean, folks, the Caduceus. Really? Really? You guys, really? I mean, we go do some studying if you don't already know the history of the Caduceus and where that goes back to. But it goes back to ancient Sumeria, folks. It's on ancient Sumerian, like the ziggurats at Ur and all these different sites in what is now Iraq. That's why the medical industry, it's magic. It's a form of magic. Unbelievable. The foreign ministry had simulated a possible attack on nuclear plants in 1984 that included a scenario in which all power sources were lost, as occurred at the Fukushima number one nuclear plant, but chose to keep the results confidential. If the ministry report had been shared with many officials in the government, it could have helped to raise attention that was needed to prepare for a possible nuclear power station blackout. The ongoing nuclear crisis was triggered by a complete loss of the electricity grid, emergency diesel generators, and depletion of backup batteries. The report projected up to 18,000 deaths from acute radiation exposure in an attack or a nuclear reactor that damages the containment vessel and the cooling system, resulting in meltdown and immediate release of radioactive materials in the air. But the ministry decided not to disclose the results of the study, even to the prime minister's office, fearing it could inflame the anti-nuclear power plant movement. Yeah, I bet. These numbers are just staggering. So yet again, I just can't help but think anything else. Oh, this is all just designed to, you know, again, they got to have customers. That's why they're not going to kill us all, you know. I was looking at some website the other day. It was Raw Story or something. And I saw this title of the article. It's just one of those you see and you crack up. It was like something like Alex Jones goes ballistic talking about, he's like, Folks, they've got remote control helicopters, folks, that are going to spray Ebola virus on us, lined up, ready to go. The Sunshine Project got the documents. We got the documents, folks. You can't see them, though. They're classified, top secret. Only me and my crack team of researchers here at InfoWars are allowed to see those documents, but I can assure you they're real, and this is serious.
Hey, scum! Are gonna spray you with Ebola. And unmanned drones. I'm sick of it! Ebola! Christ. I love that shit, though. We got the documents, but you can't see them, folks. Oh, yeah, we got them. We got them, all right. You're just not allowed to see them. Sorry. He always does that. And people just go, well, he's got documents. Have you seen those documents? Did he mail you a copy? Certified mail? I didn't think so. Oh, I love it. We got the documents, folks. Oh, that shit cracks me up. It just, you got to laugh at it. All right. Page 205, Lost Book of Enki. Let's get into that for you here tonight on the show. Josh Reeves staying up late here with you tonight. Glad you all could be with us. I'm going to continue with our series of reading from the Lost Book of Enki for you here tonight. Where we left off last time, we were starting to really get into, you know, what was happening at the time when, you know, mankind was believed to needed to be wiped out by Enlil. And so we're sort of getting into that, you know, the time before the great deluge here. So now this is the account of Earth's tribulations before the deluge and how the mysterious Galzu decisions of life and death he guided in secret. By the conjugations of the Agigi, the earthling daughters were greatly disturbed. Enlil was greatly disturbed by them. By Mardark's espousal of an earthling female, Enlil was very much distraught. In his eyes, the Anunnaki mission to Earth had become perverted. To him, the howling, shouting earthling masses had become an anathema, oppressive. The pronouncements of the earthlings had become. The conjugations deprive me of sleep, Enlil said to the other leaders. In the days of Zisudra, plagues and pestilences afflicted the earth. Aches, dizziness, chills, fevers, the earthlings were overwhelmed. It's amazing, these plagues and pestilences. And who was it that I had on that we talked about? William Bramley, author of The Gods of Eden. If you didn't hear that show, go back and hit the archives and listen to that, or check it out on YouTube and just type Josh Reeves, William Bramley. And we had mentioned in there, and also we had read when we read the book here on air in our series of reading of that, that these, you know, the times when there were, every time there was a plague, or, you know, from the Black Plague to, you know, all these pestilences, all this different stuff, anytime there was appearance of that, there were always these alien type of people in suits appearing at the same time. And we're talking about how it seems that, you know, there very well could be that these aliens were spraying, you know, a form of chemtrails to keep the population culled and keep the population of the humans down at a certain level. Because, I mean, many people have speculated that the chemtrail program going on today is actually ran by extraterrestrials and not ran by the United States government. And I'll tell you, I've seen some crazy stuff concerning these chemtrails. And while you'd have to have proof either way, I have to say the things I've seen, the things that I know other people that I know and trust have seen, be hard for me to say that you were wrong if you wanted to make an extraterrestrial connection with chemtrails. It really would. Myself, many other people out there have filmed these chemtrails with high power, superpower lenses where you can get real up close on these planes, and you can on regular planes, but these chemtrail planes always seem to be like there's not really a plane there. People have speculated that they're holograms, that they're appearing to be, you know, normal aircraft, and they appear to us when you look at them with a naked eye, but are some sort of, you know, highly advanced holographic technology that appears to be planes. This is some part of some ongoing
alien eugenics program. I mean, I would say it's just as possible as anything else. In fact, anymore, I have a real problem saying anything's not possible, because I think at the moment you say that, the moment you allow yourself to think that there isn't anything these motherfuckers would be capable of, they've got you. If you can dream it, they've got it. If you can dream it, they've probably already done it. If you can dream it, they're probably working on it. If you can dream of having it, they'll probably have it by next week. I mean, that's really the truth. So these humans are feeling aches, dizziness, chills, fevers. All of a sudden, you know, as soon as Enlil says, well, we've got to do away with this. They've become a perversion of our Anunnaki mission. Boom, they start getting, that's classic chemtrail sickness description right there, isn't it, folks? It's a lot of you who have these planes fly over your house, and who hasn't at this point, right? And you wake up, you know, you're sleeping in the middle of the night and you get Charlie horses in your legs, but you haven't done any running or strenuous activity that would cause that. Potassium depletion. That's barium poisoning. That's what it does to you. The dizziness, the chills. How many times have you gotten a cold where you got dizziness and chills and feel like you got a fucking cold, but it's, you know, 105 degrees outside, dead of summer. Yet those planes are flying and crisscrossing over your house all day. Well, that's what it is. That's very well what this sounds like here. I think these chemtrails have been going on a lot longer than any of us would believe. I mean, there's a lot of evidence in a lot of places this stuff's been going on for a long time. Let us teach the earthlings how to cure themselves and how to remedy themselves, Nenma said. Enlil said, by this decree I forbid that. So there's, you know, that's an admission that what's going on here is not a natural pestilence or natural. This is, you know, something that Enlil wants and, in fact, has had a hand in. In the lands where to the earthlings have spread waters from their sources did not rise. The earth shut its womb. Vegetation did not sprout. Let us, on the earthlings' pond, teach them canal building and let them fish from the seas and obtain sustenance. Enki did say to the other leaders, this by decree I forbid, Enlil said to Enki. Let the earthlings by hunger and pestilence perish. For one shar, the earthlings ate the grasses of the fields. For the second shar, the third shar, the vengeance of Enlil, they suffered. In Shurabak, Zisudra's city, the suffering was unbearable. To Eridu, Zisudra of the earthlings, a spokesman journeyed. To the house of the Lord Enki, he made his way. By the name of his Lord, he was called. For help and salvation to him, he pleaded. Enki, by Enlil's decrees, was bound. In those days, the Anunnaki were concerned for their own surviving. Their own rations were diminished. By earth challenges, they themselves became afflicted. On earth, as on Mars, the seasons, their regularity lost. For one shar, for two shars, from Nibiru, the heavenly circuits were studied. Circuits, we know, are the orbits. Oddities in the planetary destinies from Nibiru were observed. On the sun's face, black spots were appearing. From its face, flames shot up. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds like what's going on now. Could this be why so many people think that what's going on with the sun and the solar cycles and, you know, aurora borealis is being seen as far south as Texas, all this stuff, you know, electromagnetic. A lot of people believe that that's what this is. It's being caused by, you know, Nibiru. I don't really believe that, but, you know, I don't disbelieve it either. I mean, I just not one of those, I get into all this stuff, but, I'm stuck on the Vulcan thing. I can't get away from it. Vulcan is there. It's in the Sumerian text. It's in the Sumerian descriptions. It has the same sort of, you know, said effects on the earth when it comes by, earthquakes and, you know, cataclysms, all this stuff, but it just doesn't fit into that whole 2012 time scale and fear mongering, so they don't bring it up and use Nibiru as a red herring. I'm just convinced of that. I just, there's, you know, I've researched it over and over and over again and tried to find a different way to look at it, but that's just what I go back to over and over again. That's just my whole standpoint on the Nibiru thing. So, on the sun's face, black spots were appearing from its face. Flames shot up. Keechar was also misbehaving. Its host lost its footing and dizzying were their circuits, their orbits. The hammered bracelet was unseen and pulled and pushed by forces. For reasons unfathomed, the sun was upsetting its family. The destinies of the Celestials by unsavory fates were overtaken. On Nibiru, the savants raised alarms. In public squares, the people gathered. The creator of all, to primordial days, the heavens is returning. Angry is the creator of all, voices from amongst the people shouted. On earth, the tribulations were increasing. Fear and famine were rearing their heads. For four shards, the instruments the white land were facing were observed. By Nurgle and Ereshkigal, odd rumblings in the Whiteland snows were recorded. The snow ice that the Whiteland covers has taken to sliding. Polar ice caps are starting to melt. Planet's heating up, you see. Black spots start to appear on the sun, and the sun starts to appear. That's, you know, that's what's going on right now, isn't it? Yeah, the Anunnaki are probably going to end up coming back yet. And I bet there's a whole bunch of people, as soon as the alleged Anunnaki do get here, I bet you a big bunch of you stupid motherfuckers out there are going to drop down on your knees and be ready to worship them as fucking gods, aren't you? I bet there is. A bunch of people are going to drop to their knees and worship them as gods. Oh, yeah, you know it. I think that's what all this genetic manipulation, all this genetic engineering, and all these wanting of these ancient Sumerian tablets and seals and these gin bottles and all this stuff, the genie bottles. And people have talked about for the longest time, you know, but that's been part of the plan that they've been, that's why they wanted the antiquities, was to create, or they have created, these super soldiers, allegedly. There have been people who reported seeing them over in Iraq and Afghanistan. Have you ever seen the X-Files? You know, the X-Files thing they have with the super soldiers? Allegedly, that's really absolutely true. That Saddam Hussein had it first, and we got our hands on it. It's essentially weaponized Nephilim blood that you can create super soldiers with. So it makes you wonder if that's what's going on here. The snow ice that the Whiteland covers has taken to sliding. So they did report from Abzu's tip. In the land beyond the seas, Ninurta was establishing instruments of the foretelling in his haven. Quakes and jitters at the earth's bottom, he noticed on his instruments. An odd matter is afoot. So did Enlil, Tuanu on Nibiru's words of alarm send. For the sixth shar, the phenomenon has gained strength. On Nibiru, the savants raised an alarm. They gave forewarnings of calamities to the king. The next time Nibiru and the sun shall be nearing to earth, Nibiru's net force shall be exposed. Mars, in its circuits on the sun's other side, shall take a station. From the net force of Nibiru, Earth in the heavens protection shall not have. Keshar and its host agitated shall be. Lamu, Mars, will also shake and wobble. So there's, you know, there it is. As soon as it starts, you know, the sun starts heating up, the polar ice caps start to melt, and kind of things that are going on right now, and we're getting solar storms and droughts. That's allegedly when, you know, at the same time, Nibiru is getting close to the Earth and causing these great effects on Earth. Maybe there is something to it. You know, hell, I don't know. In Earth's great below, the snow ice of the White Land is losing its footing. The next time Nibiru is the closest to the Earth, it shall approach this close to Earth, the snow ice of the White Lands shall come a sliding off. So they're like warning us there, aren't they? You'll know Nibiru is near when, you know, Antarctica and the fucking, you know, North Pole or whatever is just gone. A watery calamity it shall cause. By a huge wave, a deluge, the earth will be overwhelmed. On Nibiru, great was the consternation, uncertain about Nibiru's own fate. Kings, savants, and counselors were also greatly worried about Earth and Mars. The king and the counselors made a decision for evacuating Earth and Mars to prepare. In the Abzu, the gold mine shut down. Therefrom, the Anunnaki came to the Eden. In Bad Tibiara, the smelting and refining ceased, and all the gold was lofted to Nibiru. Empty and ready for evacuating, a fleet of fast celestial chariots returned to Earth. On Nibiru, the heavenly signs were watched. On Earth, tremors were recorded. It was at that time that from one of the celestial chariots, a white-haired Anunnaki stepped off. Galzu, Great Knower, was his name. With steps majestic, he made his way to Enlil. To him, a sealed message from Anu he presented. I am Galzu, emissary, plenipotentiary of king and council to Enlil, he said. By his coming, Enlil was surprised. No word from Anu, he didn't get any word in advance from Anu that he was coming. Enlil examined the seal of Anu, and it was unbroken and authentic. In Nibiru Key, the message tablet was read. Its encoding was trustworthy. For king and council, Galzu speaks. His words are my command, so the message from Anu did state. That Enki and Ninma be also summoned was Galzu's request. When they came to Ninma, Galzu pleasantly smiled. Of the same school and age we are, he said to her. This Ninma could not recall. The emissary was as young as a son. She was as his olden mother. Simple is the explanation, Galzu said to her. By our winter slumbered life cycles, it is caused. Indeed, this is a matter of my mission, a part about the evacuation. It is a secret. So the evacuation is a secret, huh? Meaning some people are going to get evacuated and others are not. Ever since Dumuzi had stayed on Nibiru, returning Anunnaki were examined on Nibiru. Those who on Earth stayed the longest were harshly afflicted upon returning. Their bodies were no longer accustomed to the Nibiru cycles. Their sleep was disturbed, their eyesight was failing, and the net force of Nibiru weighted their walk. Their minds were also affected, as sons were older than their parents that had left. Death, my comrades, to the returnees quickly came. Of here I am giving the warning. The three leaders who had stayed the longest on Earth fell silent by these words. Ninma was the first to speak. That much was to be expected, she said. Enki, the wise one, consented to her words. That much was clear, he said. Enlil was seized with anger. Before, the earthlings were becoming like us. Now we, as earthlings, have become imprisoned to this planet as well. So again, there's that reference, that admission that indeed humans, earthlings, are imprisoned on this planet. They're the ones that created this etherical barrier, the Van Allen radiation belts, the single solid gold reason why they had to fake the Apollo moon missions. And now the creators, the gods, have become stuck here on Earth as well. Now we as Earthlings have become imprisoned to this planet. This whole mission was turned to a nightmare by Enki and his Earthlings. From masters to slaves, we were made. To the outburst, Gaozu listened with compassion. Indeed, there is much to ponder, he said. On Nibiru, much thinking and soul-searching, and deep questions were being raised. Should Nibiru have been left to its fate, whatever by the creator of all intended, to be let to happen? Meaning, you know, should we have just let it happen? Or was the coming to Earth by the creator of all conceived, and we are only unwitting emissaries? Ah, the eternal question. Of that, my comrades, the debate will continue, so Gaozu was saying to them. Now, this is the secret of the command from Nibiru. The three of you on Earth will remain, only to die to Nibiru you will return. In celestial chariots, you shall encircle the Earth, and you shall outwait the calamity. So right there, they're saying, okay, we're gonna give you ships. You're going to orbit the Earth while we wipe out the lousy humans with the deluge, and then you guys can come back here and live out your days until it's time for you to go back to Nibiru and die. To each of the other Anunnaki, a choice to leave the calamity or outwait the calamity must be given. The Agiki who Earthlings espoused must, between departure and spouses, choose. Meaning, you want to stay on Earth with your spouse and possibly die, or do you want to leave without your spouse and survive yourself? No Earthling, Marduk, Serpanet included, is allowed to journey to Nibiru. For all those who stay and see what happens, in celestial chariots, they must seek safety. As for all the others, to depart for Nibiru forthwith, they must be ready. So did Gaozu, Nibiru's commands, reveal in secret to the leaders. So we're going to stop right there at the beginning of page 210. I'll probably forget that. I'll have to ask somebody in the chat room tomorrow night, but you guys will help me out. And we're going to be starting tomorrow night. Now, this is the account of how the Anunnaki decided to abandon Earth. So it's getting interesting now, and I think we're going to continue to see more interesting correlations between knowledge that we've already known about, more confirmations of, you know, really what these biblical stories that were, you know, thousands of years old by the time they were told in biblical form. It's just amazing. So, definitely can't wait to continue on that. I want to thank everybody for being with us tonight. It's good to be back with you here, man. It feels like we hadn't had a live show in a while after all those weird tech issues and whatever the cyber warfare stuff is going on. It's just, it's insane. But since we only had two shows last week and we didn't get a lot of support in, we're really lacking, really hurting for support right now. So please donate at my website, theglobalreality.com. Keep us commercial free and uncensored and pushing forward into the future. And we appreciate everybody out there. Love you so much. My name is Josh Reeves. I love each and every one of you. We'll see you tomorrow for the broadcast. You guys have a great night, great morning. Take care.